here today. I think there's some big game on or something today. And, you know, I was kind of worried, okay, what are we going to have and who's going to show up? But I appreciate you making time to begin your day here because it is a big day for God, even though it's for us. And I always like beginning because, you know, if you're here and you're not really a religious person and you're just not quite sure how to figure this out, that you'll learn that we're really not all that religious ourselves. All right, it's really, we've learned that it's really not about a religion, it's about a relationship. You know, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and so we've kind of learned that it's not all about that religious stuff, but it's about walking with Jesus. And if you're going to walk with Jesus, one of the challenges are you're going to have to grow, right? Anybody on board with that? So annually, our church does a spiritual growth thing, and we're right in the middle of it. We're at week 3 today for those who are a part of it. If you're not, you'll kind of hear about it. Maybe we can get you plugged in, and you can join us on this wonderful journey and be a part of it. But we're challenged ourselves to grow. It's a spiritual journey. Everybody's on one, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a believer or not, whether you're just checking church out. It doesn't matter. We're all on some kind of a spiritual journey. There's this little place in our life. We can't quite figure out what to put in there, and maybe you're just checking out church. Thank you. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're going to be a part of it. But we're in the middle of this growth campaign. And we kind of look at it from this way, because I don't know about you, but as I live, there are good things and bad things. Anybody? Right now, I got a cold. Anybody else got a cold? You know, I had a cold. I got better. I got better for about 4 days, and guess what? It came back. Anybody get one of those? You know, you think you should. You know, there's always something going on in life, you know? We had big plans for yesterday, my wife and I, and we're going to go see my dad and take on and get a call as we're walking out of the house. My dad is not doing well. We had to take him by ambulance to the hospital yesterday. Anybody have plans like that? You know, anybody got stuff in life? You know? And that's kind of what we're talking. We're on this journey, and how do we go about this journey? And I think Jesus described this journey really well. And it was one of our memory verses. Anybody remember? We got some memory verses. Anybody remember some memory verses? John 10:10, right? Just to give you a hint, you don't have to remember it right now. You should remember it sooner or later. All right, it's right there written for you. The thing is only to steal, kill, and destroy. You got things in your life that is trying to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. Anybody? Yeah. We're at our lesson, we're talking about those. We're calling those giants. There's things in our life that want to steal our joy, kill our peace, and destroy our life as we go through this journey. But listen to what it says. But I came, and who's I? Anybody got I? I is Jesus. All right, you guys are with me. Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. This is a verse I memorized a long time ago, that Jesus came that I might have life and have it abundantly. Not just a normal life, not just passing through this world. I'm going to tell you, I'm not just a passing. Anybody remember singing a song, I'm just a passing through? Anybody remember a song like that? I'm looking out there. Nobody's... I guess I am getting old, all right? You know? But I'm just a passing through. I'm going to tell you, I'm not just a passing through. You know? I'm going to have an abundant life. But those giants, those things in our life, fear is what we've been talking about last week, and anxiety and stress and worry. We got these things, and addictions, and we're going to talk about comfort next week. And we get these things that just kind of steal our joy and kill our peace and destroy our lives. Yet Jesus says, I want you guys to have an abundant life. And we're on this journey. This morning, I want us to think about rejection. I want us to kind of turn our attention to rejection. How many here can remember maybe when you were in school, elementary school, junior high, high school, you know, you go to PE. I don't even know if they have PE anymore. I don't know if school still has PE. But you go to PE and you're going to play baseball, you're going to play something. Everybody get on a line, right? We got all these lines around. Everybody line up on the blue line. All right. Okay, you pick, and you get start picking teams. Everybody remember doing that? You didn't want to be what? You didn't want to be last. You know, because if you're the last one, you're the rejected one, right? You're the one that can't pay the baseball, or you can't catch a football, or you just, you know, you never wanted to be. I was never first, nor was I last. Anybody in that one? I was always somewhere in between. But we wrestle with rejection all our lives. I did some research this week, and I couldn't memorize them, but I got some nerve, and I wanted to kind of share it to you. This was a surprising one. 42% of first, second, and third grade girls want to lose weight. 42% of first, second, and third grade girls want to lose weight. More than 50% of teenage girls wish they were thinner. 90% of girls want to change at least one aspect of their physical appearance. 7 in 10 girls believe they are not good enough and do not measure up, in including their looks, performance in school, relationships with friends, and family. It was just astonishing to me. But boys don't even hold up any better. Yeah, boys, it was really interesting. More than 50% of boys want to be more muscular. I want a six-pack, all right? I'm tired of my keg, all right? You know? 90% when they reach adolescence wish they were more muscular. And here was an interesting one. A recent study found the demographic group who was most unhappy with their weight was not girls, like expected. It wasn't even overweight boys. It was underweight boys. Now, that was me. I wanted to play football in high school. And so they had this thing called weight on. It tasted horrible, so I only did it a little while. Trying to put some weight. I weighed 135 pounds. I got hit by somebody. I was toast, man. They're going to fold me up. You know? But you know what's amazing? It doesn't stop when we get older. Even as adults, don't we kind of, rejection? And I thought this was astonishing. 15.9 million people have surgical or invasive cosmetic procedures performed in the United States. 59 plastic surgery. 15.9% millions have plastic surgery. Believe it or not, this one was one interesting study to me. Negative talk in the home. You got kids and you're at the mirror combing your hair and I'm having a bad hair day. Your kid hears that. Guess what? That's programming your child. It was real interesting to read some of these statistics and to hear all these kinds of things. And here's this one, believe it or not, even parental negative talk. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I like my hair. I don't like my hair. We face it even as adults. Anybody here have cell phones? Anybody have one of these things, these smartphones? Anybody got Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter? Anybody got any? Anybody ever post pictures? Selfies? You post your picture yourself, and you pick the best one, right? You've got to take two or three. Got to get the best one, How about anybody here ever send a text message, and they didn't text you back for a while? And you're going, are they mad at me? Is something wrong? What did I do? We have this, and we think, well, we're adults now. I'm not worried about it. Rejected, some of us, we get older, rejected by our parents. I was sharing, my dad went to the hospital. My dad is 85 years old. He's never heard me preach. Now, I don't think I'm rejected. He talks about me and he talks to me. I'm going to tell you, my dad has a problem with God, all right? And I pray for him. I try to witness to him. He just, it's like talk wall right here. It ain't going anywhere. So I'm praying for somebody else to hit him up is what I've been praying. I'm still talking, but I'm praying for somebody else. But my dad has never, he'd come here for anniversaries in the church for me. He'd sit over at the park waiting for us to get done. Do you ever feel, somebody, you're waiting for somebody to say something? You're waiting for something that they should be saying? Anybody ever feel rejected? Anybody wrestle with that emotional feelings and that idea of rejection and how we go about it? We want to fit in. We want to be a part. There's parents. There's ex-husbands and ex-wives that we've been rejected about. There's football coaches or baseball coaches or PE or sports that we've been rejected about. There's rejection at work. There's rejection in extended family. And we wrestle with this idea of rejection. But this has a long, long history of rejection. Go all the way back to two people. Anybody know what two? All the way back to the book of Genesis. You got two people called Adam and Eve. The serpent comes up to them and says, you're not like God. God's got some things on you. You know, you don't compare well. You know, you got to take this tree. You don't have that knowledge of good and evil. You know, anybody ever get this comparison stuff? You know, we feel rejected. God rejected us. God didn't tell us the whole God. You know, but I want you to think about something. When God created Adam and Eve, and here the serpent comes along and flat out looks them in the eye and says, "Listen, you're not comparing to God. You're not there." But how were they created? I put the verse here for us to look at. Look at what it says. So God created human beings in the image of God, he created them. He created them male and female. We need to understand, just as Adam and Eve, they were created in the image of God. They already had the image of God, right? And yet the serpent twisted things. That giant of social media twists that thing. Those magazines at the store rack. You ever see some of those magazines? Now, I hope you guys, some of these, I'm not going to name them because I don't want to embarrass you in case you get some of those magazines, you know? You know, Max, maybe I shouldn't say them, all right? You know, that some of these magazines, those images they put on there, and, you know, and the kids see these magazines, you know, and Teen Beat, and that was a long time ago. I don't know if they still have that one. But we have this image out here, and then we don't measure up. But here's what I want you to say. Whose image are we made in? I am made in the image of God. I am made like God. And if we don't wrestle with this rejection kind of develops into low self-esteem, low self-worth, self-hate. You know, people cut themselves nowadays because they just can't wrestle with this image and they can't wrestle with today and how life is. But I like this passage here. Look at 1 John 3:1. See what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are what? Children of God. Now, we're in a spiritual growth campaign. I set the stage for that. You know that. We already mentioned one of our memory verses, John 10:10, right? The devil, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, but I've come to give you abundant life. Last week we had, how do you name it? Just give me the reference. 2 Timothy 1:7. He did not give us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Come, you guys. We got to learn God's word, all right? The devil is sitting there telling you, "You're not good. You don't measure up. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough." Look in the mirror. You know our worst enemy is in the mirror? You know, I'm sure you look in the mirror and it's like, oh, man. You look in the mirror and you see this buck tooth, big nose, colorblind, gray hair. You know? Can't spell. Self-control. Control freak. You look in the mirror and you go, man, God, you messed up. Anybody in that one? Yeah. But we understand that God didn't give us this fear. So our verse today, circle this passage, 1 John 3:1. All right? That's your memory verse. I'm not going to cut you any slack. All right? Anybody know their address? Anybody know where you live? Yeah. You know your phone number? Well, you can memorize. I can't remember anything. Well, if you know your phone number, you know your address, you can memorize, okay? So how do we do this, right? We say the refs, the address, then we say the verse, and then we say the address, all right? So are you guys ready? And again, if I don't hear you, we do it again, all right? So I've got to hear you. So we're going to say 1 John and say the verse, and then we'll say 1 John and wrap it up. Are you guys ready? Everybody ready? Let me see some heads nod. All right. You can see my voice is cracking, but we're going to get through this. So here we go. 1 John 3:1. Wait, I didn't hear enough. All right. I want to hear you. You ready? 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are, 1 John 3:1. You guys got it? I made it this time. Excuse me. I made it. We need to memorize God's word, because the devil will steal, kill your peace, and destroy your life. But Jesus wants to give you abundant life, and one of those tools is the word of God. All right? This is what I am. I am a child of God. I was in a car lot one time. I still remember this. I was just been a Christian not very long, and I was in a car lot. And this guy was trying to sell me a car, and I was talking, and somehow we got on to God. And he's going, as much as you believe in God, you ought to be a car salesman. Because I'm a child of God. Yes, I have all these flaws. You guys come and look at it every week, and you go, man, that guy's weird. You know, when I came here, I had black hair. It's your guys' fault. Yeah? But I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. You are not rejected. All right? We need to step back and see this picture. And what we've been doing in our study and what we've been looking at, and the title is Goliath Must Fall. And we've taken the Goliath story. We've taken the Goliath story and kind of tweaked it and made a different ending in it, because we realize that in the story of David and Goliath, we're not David. That Jesus is David. Jesus is the giant slayer. Jesus is the one who stands toe to toe, nose to nose with the Goliath in your life and chops his head off and slays that giant. It's Jesus that does that. But there's this spirit, like we've been at, that's always out there. Remember, as we started this series, we said this, like a rattlesnake with its head, it's dead, but it's still deadly. The war is over. Jesus won. When he rose from the grave, it was over, man. Satan lost. It's done. He's still out there. Those fangs are still there to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. And we see this in the story of David. And I want to look at the rejection for David, all right? Not just once. Not just twice, not just three times, but David faced rejection his whole life. Even before the David and Goliath story, it's real interesting. Samuel was a priest prophet. God had called Samuel as a prophet to go and anoint the new king. Saul was king, and he was going to die and go away. And so God needed a new king, and he was picking one. So he sent Samuel to a guy named Jesse's house who had 8 sons. So Samuel goes to the house and says, God sent me here, and lays it all out for Jesse, the father. And they start bringing the sons by. Oldest son Eliab comes by. Solomon goes, nope. Second son goes by. Nope. You know, that's rejection, right? Nope. 7 of them go by, and there's none there, and everybody's gone. And it's like, well, is that all? Well, I got one more, but he's out he's not even good enough to be in the house. He's out there taking care of the sheep. Yeah. But he had to come in. He's rejected from the very beginning. You know, it's, anybody got a baby pain? I got a baby sister that's a pain. Yeah. It's best when you're the oldest, right? Yeah. But here, this is, you know, he's rejected. You know, it's like, you know, you go out there. We're gonna pick out who the next king is gonna be over here, David, and you just go out there and take care of the sheep while we figure this out. But it grew from there. Yeah. The battle's raging with the Philistines, and David shows up, and he comes out there, and listen to what his brother said. When Eliab, David's brother, oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men. You know, David said, why isn't nobody going out there? Why isn't somebody going to fight that Goliath? Why doesn't somebody do something? He burned with anger. Anybody ever get aggravated with a baby brother? Who wants to play with a baby brother? You know, come on, I'm big now. Huh? And he asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep? You don't even, you just got a few sheep. You don't have much to do. You can't do much. You only got a few sheep to take care of out there in the wilderness. And you're just conceited. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You ever talk to a brother like that? You come down here only to watch the battle. I wonder if Eliab had a little resentment. You know, you were picked over me. Now it's my time to pay you back. Anybody want to pay back your brother, sister? Payback time. Yeah. I always get my sister now. It's just my sister and I left, and we took my dad to the hospital, and I always give her a bad time because she was spoiled rotten. You know, and we'd be sitting there, and we didn't even touch her. She would scream and say we did something, and we'd get in trouble. Anybody got, you know? So it's a little resentment, you know, a little, you know, it's like, who do you think you are? You just got a few sheep. You're not good enough. You don't matter enough. You can't even take care of what you have responsibility for. You're just a nobody, Dave. Get away. Go back. A little bit of rejection there. He goes to Saul. Shows up to Saul, the king. Says, hey, somebody's got to do something. Look at what he says. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go fight him. You know, hey, man, nobody here. We got a whole army. You're even not going to go fight him. I'll go out there. Look, Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. He's been a warrior from his youth. You're just a child. You don't have what it takes. You don't have the ability. You don't have the skills. You don't have the experience. You just can't do this. You know, you're not there. You don't matter. Rejection. Anybody? It doesn't stop. David goes out, stands up by Goliath. What does Goliath say? Sent this dog out here. Look at what he says. He looked at David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy. You're just a snotty-nosed little kid. Glowing with health and handsome. You're a pretty boy. You're just some pretty boy. You don't have any war scars. You don't know what it is to be in a battle. You have no life experiences. You don't get this. You know, you're just a little snotty-nosed boy and despised him. You think there's been a little rejection here? His brothers, the king, stands toe-to-toe with Goliath. And it's like, you know, you're a pretty boy. You don't have the abilities. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the experience. You just got a few sheep to take care of. You don't get all this. Just go away. Anybody ever feel like that? I just don't matter. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not have the abilities to do that. Anybody feel in one of those kind of packages? And here's David with this. I want to make sure you've seen the story, though. Look at what it says. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward him. I love that. What did David do? He didn't wait. Okay, let's wait. Okay, here he comes, here he comes, here he comes. Nope, and it's like, it's on, baby, let's go. He just starts running towards him, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone, I love this. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. I love that. It did, man. That's what I love about the Bible. It tells all those gory details. You know, they always say, well, the Bible, you know. I like it, you know, the guy falls asleep in the lady's tent. Anybody know that one? Falls asleep in the lady's tent, you know, she's tempted there, takes the tent pegs, drives it through his temple, and sticks it all the way into the ground. That's some great stories in the Bible. You know? Here's this guy, you know, right, and he didn't only hit him in the head, it sunk into his forehead, you know, and then it goes on. You know, I didn't put the gory part, chops his head off and holds it up. Yeah, look what I got. Rejection is real. But what did David say? What was David's response? How did David stand in this incident? He didn't say, I come at you with my slingshot. I come at you in the name of Jehovah, the one true God. That's what I want us to see this morning. That John rejection, those feelings of inferiority, I put some things down here. How about insecurity? Anybody ever feel a little insecure? You know, start comparing yourself to others and you just, you know, try to be a pastor who was a year behind Rick Warren at Cal Baptist. You know, he's only got 30-some-odd thousand people in Bible study a week. You know, I've said at his mom and dad's dinner table, you know, yeah, God, that ain't fair, God. Yeah, look at, anybody ever getting the comparison thing at work? I'm a better worker than him, and he's getting a promotion, and I'm not. Anybody ever getting those comparison things? Little insecurity? How about a little inferiority? You know, it's just, I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm not going to do anything. Nobody's ever going to do that. Self-hate. So how about, anybody here success-driven besides me? Got to drive through, got to. We have all these things, and these giants loom over us, and it steals your joy and kills your peace and destroys your life. You ever had that experience where you let things get in the way of peace and joy and life? Because maybe you got to succeed, or maybe you don't fit in, or maybe you don't measure up and you're just not good enough. But Jesus defeated that giant. I like this passage here. Look at 1 Peter 2:4. As you come to him, the living stone, now just so you know, you can write Jesus above that if you want to know what that is. Rejected by humans. Remember, he was nailed to a cross. They yelled, crucify him. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks because Easter comes up. I think it's going to be fun. Easter falls on April Fool's Day. Isn't that interesting? I got a sermon called I'm No Fool for Easter, all right? So, you know, but rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. That we are chosen and precious to God. Even when we're rejected, we are chosen. Impression. Like I say, I had some taffy yesterday, and it pulled the crown off my tooth. I got to go to the dentist. You know, that taffy was real, and it was free taffy on top of that. Old minnow, you know. But we look, like I say, I look, you know, and I remember going to the dentist. I'm 60 years old, and the dentist wants to put braces on. I'm 60. I don't want to spend $10,000 for braces. I'm 60. I looked this way for 60 years. I'm going to finish it, you know? You know? But we get into this image things, you know? Got to get a haircut. I don't want a haircut. But I got one for you guys, all right? If I don't get a haircut, you guys tell me, Gary, it's time to get a haircut. You know, you guys tell me when to tuck my shirt in, too. Did you know that? You know? We wrestle with these feelings of rejection, you know. I'm willing to admit, yeah, I got a big nose. It's not from lying either, okay? That's Pinocchio. But we get in, yeah, I'm colorblind. You know, I can't tell what color you got on. My wife dresses me. You got for her. You know? I could find a ton of things. You ever sit there and look at those colorblind circles? You guys, have you ever done a colorblind test? You look at those squares, look at those circles, and you see those X's and those O's. You know what it's like to sit there and know there's something there and you can't see it? Thank you. It's the weirdest feeling. You know, I like artwork, and I like painting, and I like taking care of photography. But I can't do photography because I'm colorblind. You know, anybody feel rejected? You know, it's like, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm going to need hearing aids. You know, we have an invitation here. I'll give you an invitation later, and I'll stand here. And it's like, I'm going to tell you, speak up. I can't hear you. I'm going, do they have hearing aids with Bluetooth in them? You know? Anybody feel rejected? I've been pastoring. This is 63 years. I've been here 30-some-odd years. You look around. My dream was 1,000 people in a church when I came 34 years ago. I'm a failure. Anybody feel like a failure? No? But wait a minute. I'm chosen by God and precious to him. Whoa. God made me the way I am. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't want Rick Warren's church, just to tell you the truth. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. God's got the right man in the right place. And for you guys, I hope you believe it as I do. God's got me in the right place right here. Because see, I think God has a purpose, a plan for everybody's life. You're here this morning, I'm going to tell you something. You're not here by accident. You got up this morning and said, you know, maybe I'll go to church today. Ain't your idea. God is prodding. Anybody believe God prods? God speaks. See, God has a plan and God has reasons. And I don't know why God made me the way I am. I started thinking, I'm precious and chosen by God. I said, I ought to be hung in the Louvre. Not with a rope, okay, with a pitcher. All right. Then I go, well, what would it be? Would it be Michelangelo paint me? Or a Picasso? That's an easy decision. I'd be a Picasso. Anybody, you know, Michelangelo has all these great artistic things. Picasso paints those weird things, you know, and crazy looking face. And they hung me in the Louvre, it'd be my Picasso. That's what I would look like. But you know what? I'm chosen by God. I'm precious to God. And here's what I want you, you are too. That God has chosen you and that you're precious to God. That you're meaningful to him. So I want to give you four things real quick. I'm going to have to go four things real quick to help you grasp that you're chosen by God. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But here's the first thing. We need to understand the miracle of our creation. We need to understand the miracle of our creation. God created you. All right? God made my rotten teeth. It's God's fault. No, I need to take care of them better, all right? But God created you just the way you are. He designed you to fit a certain way in a certain place. Anybody try to put a round peg in a square hole? We're not being rejected. We just got to find that peg, that hole. That God, we're that masterpiece. We're made by the hand of God. I want to make sure you see that. You're made by the hand of God. Look at the scripture. For we are God's masterpiece. Circle that. Are you a Picasso or Michelangelo? I'll let you figure that one out. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We're this Picasso. We're painted by God. We're the image of God. We don't have to earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't work for it. We have all accepted and approved. And I don't know about you, but I was writing the message. I thought of USDA approved. Anybody see, you know, buy your beef? That's USDA approved. You know, you have one that says God approved. To steal, kill, and destroy your life. But I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. You get the picture? We're this masterpiece of God. I have flaws, and I make no bones about it. I can be a jerk. I am a control freak. You guys have been with me for so many years. Some of you are new. You don't know that. If you hang around long enough, you will understand that. You know? But the one thing I love about being the pastor of this church is you guys let me be me. This is just, I'm sorry. Up with me. But I am in the image of, you are a masterpiece of God. You're made by God. You're created by God. You need to understand, my understanding of God's word is this. When you were formed in the womb, God breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. I believe that with all my heart. I think everyone comes from the breath of God. He's the creator, sustainer of the world. In that womb, when he breathed into you that breath of life, you are a masterpiece of God. We need to see that. I want to make sure you understand that. You are the work of God. Second thing I put down here, we reveal in the mystery that Jesus chose us. I mentioned it earlier, but I want to drive home this chosen thing. We're all standing on a line. Did I mess up my PowerPoint? Oh, we're all standing in line. And God is sitting there, I choose you, and I choose you, and I choose you, and I choose you, and I choose you. And guess who God chose? Every one of you. You're chosen by God. It doesn't matter who's first or second. It doesn't matter who's third. You got a Super Bowl to watch today, right? Anybody going to watch a Super Bowl? I'm not. I'm going to go see my dad. Yeah. I don't know what Brady picked. Was he number one pick? I don't think he was the number one pick that year. And yet, he's got a chance to get six rings, doesn't he? Third round? Yeah. Seventh round? Somewhere in there. You guys can Google that. I should have Googled that. I just now thought. I see three a couple of times. He wasn't even first round. There's a lot of people on that team that they just chose. I'm going to tell you, God chose you. You're chosen by God. Look at what it says. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That God chose you even before you were born. Well, I got to prove myself. I've got to earn it. I've got to work for it. I got to achieve it. God chose you before you did anything. And that takes me to my next, and I want to make sure you get that. But here's my next one. We grasp how costly it is for Jesus to rescue us. I watch a show called Pawn Stars. Anybody ever watch Pawn Stars? He always says the value of something is what somebody's willing to pay for it. That's the value of something. It's what somebody, you know, it might not be worth much to you, but it might be worth something to someone else. It's the value of what somebody's willing to pay for. I'm going to ask you something. How much was Jesus, God, willing to pay for you? When you were lost in sin, doing your own thing, living your own life, boss of your life, how much was God willing to pay when you were all messed up? Everything. His one and only Son. I'll tell you, you want to have some fun? Come on Thursday night. Come into this classroom over here. Over here. I don't know about the others. We got the best, okay? Yeah. We got the Sparkies. They're the best. We'll have 12, 15 kids in there and get them to quote John 3:16. Those kids know it. God chose you. He paid the price with his one and only Son. How much are you worth? How valuable are you to God? See, we need to understand God was willing to let his Son death, the pain, the agony, the heartache, so that you and I could have that abundant life, that he could still kill and destroy through the devil, that we could have life and have it abundantly. We need to see that in our life. Look at what it says. Excuse me. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. You are so valuable to God that he sent his one and only Son to die for you. You have value. You have worth. It's not what you've done. It's not what you're going to accomplish. It's what he paid for you already. And we need to understand that because we're still in the midst of a battle. Jesus won the war. When he rose from the grave, the war was over. I mean, Satan lost. It's done. It's over. He can't do any more but attack us. And he does. And the battle is ours. And we need to not get into this performance trap. Well, I'm just not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I can't measure up. But to understand that God has set us free through Jesus. And I like this point right here. We live from acceptance, not for acceptance. We live from acceptance. We joke all the time. Well, we don't joke. I joke, okay? It's my joke. I'm practically perfect in every way, right? Mary Poppins and Gary. All right? The kids give me a bad time. We have a good time with it. You know. But you know what? You are too. Not because we're perfect, but because God has declared us perfect. Isn't that what God's word says? We're declared perfect. He set us free. We are justified. We are set free. We are sanctified. Oh, you like all those religious words? Basically, what it's saying is you are a child of God. And we need to see that. We live in that. Not for it. I got to do more. I got to earn God's love. I got to deserve God's love. I got to work harder for God. I've got to. I don't got to do anything. You're living from victory in Jesus Christ. You see it in Jesus. Look at what it says. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I want you to hear today. Those are the words I want you to hear today. You are a child of God. We all have faults. We all have failures. We all have, and I'll use a big word that we don't like, sin. Anybody? We all battle. We all struggle. But I am a child of God, and he's well pleased. Now, I'll mess up, and I'll fall, but God is always there. I want to ask you this morning, are you a child of God? I make it real simple in this church. I make it so not well, it's not that, well, I was baptized as a baby, or I was baptized as a teenager. I got baptized. Baptism won't save you, just so you know that. You know, well, I shook the preacher's hand, you know, and I ain't going to get it done. Well, you know what? I try to be the best person I can be. I try to treat others as I'd want them to treat me. I try to be a good person. That's not going to get there. Because, see, you're trying to do it on what you, and you can't do it. But Jesus steps up and says, listen, you're so valuable to God. You have so much worth to God. I'm going to die for you. And then I say it this way. You got to reach a point in your life where you say something along these lines. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. I challenge you this morning. Are you a child of God? Are you one of his? Rescue. Set free by God. You were created by him. You were formed by him. He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. Have you crossed that line? You said you're a child. Because if you have, I want you this morning to say something with me. All right? You guys okay? I want you to say something with me. I want you to say this. I am a masterpiece of God. Is that okay? Everybody on board? And again, I'm mean. I'm a mean preacher, all right? If I don't hear you, we'll do it again. All right? I want you to say, I am a masterpiece of God. You ready? One, two, three. I am a masterpiece of God. All right. Are you? Can you say that with confidence this morning? Flaws and all, that God created and formed you. He slays that giant of rejection, that parent, that story, that teacher, that ex-husband or ex-wife, that just all, you know, that mirror you look into and you just go, man, I'm ugly. Yeah. But you're a masterpiece of God. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And just acknowledge to God that I'm a masterpiece. That I'm a masterpiece. You know, as our heads are bowed, God, I just thank you that you created each and every one that is here. There is no one here that accident that was an afterthought or just was a surprise. That you knew you created them. You formed them. and you breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. Lord, I thank you for who they are. And I pray that they rest in an abundant life. That will slay the giant that steals the joy, kills the peace, and destroys lives. And that they'll enjoy the acceptance and the love and the grace of God. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to reflect just for a moment. We need to think about, is there something you need to be set free from? Maybe some words that someone spoke to you a long time ago of rejection. Maybe a divorce. Maybe a parent. Maybe a child. Maybe it's been a teacher or some sports or some girlfriends that made fun of you. I don't know. Is there something that you need to be set free from? Would you let Jesus slay that giant? Just right now as you're talking with God. I want you to say, God, thank you for creating me. Thank you for forming me. Thank you for being my loving Father who adores me. Lord, I ask you to bless these. Set them free that they may be a people of God in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, we always give an invitation, and it's simple. I just stand there. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual journey. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus, and maybe you need to cross that invisible line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours for my life. And I'll pray it with you. Or you can pray it right where you sit right now and just say, God, I've really messed up, and I'm tired of doing it my way. I know I can't do it anymore. Come into my life and take control. But I'll pray with you. Maybe there's some other battles. I don't know what's in your life. Maybe some situations. Maybe some rejection. Maybe some hurts or some wounds. Maybe there's been some words. I don't know what it is. But this is an opportunity for God to speak to you and for me to minister to you. So this is your time, and I call it an invitation. So we're going to stand, and we're going to sing a song. And as God leads, you just come and allow this church and allow myself to be a part of what God is doing in your life. So I'm going to ask you to stand and join the song and sing with us as we give God the glory.
Lord, I come back, by here I find my rest. Without you I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need my way. when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
I hope we know you need God. He's always there. Would you please be seated? I say this every week, but it comes from my heart. I appreciate sharing God's word with you. It's